Judges chapter 11 tonight, and to get us started, I want to read the first seven verses, so if you're able and willing, please stand with me as I read, again, Judges chapter 11, beginning in verse number 1. It says, "Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of an harlot, and Gilead begat Japheth. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob, and there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. And it came to pass in the process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, Come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, Did not ye hate me, and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now, when ye are in distress?" Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would help me tonight as I preach this message. Lord, may you give me clarity of thought, may you give me utterance, and may our Savior Jesus Christ be lifted up and glorified. May those that are lost be drawn unto him as a result of this message. And Lord, may you also stir up your people as the gospel is preached. May we appreciate all that we have in Christ Jesus, and may we want to preach it to others, the gospel that is, so that they could have the same hope that we have of eternal life. So again, Lord, bless the message tonight, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I've been preaching a series of messages on the subject of salvation, and we began in a rather logical place, the book of Genesis, and we have just worked our way through the different books of the Old Testament thus far, looking at some things in the book of Exodus, some things in the book of Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and Joshua, and most recently I preached a couple of messages from the book of Ruth, one of which was the love story with Christ at the center, and we saw that Ruth and the sinner both have had nothing to offer the bridegroom, and Boaz, like the Savior, was generous, compassionate, and a redeemer. And so we see the gospel on display there in the book of Ruth. And last week we looked at two of the women there, the daughters-in-law of Naomi, Orpah and Ruth, and we tried to discover what was the difference between the two, because one got saved and the other didn't. And we saw that the difference was not what they heard, not what they said, not what they did, nor what they felt, but the difference was faith. Yeah. Ruth trusted God with her future. She went into a land that she had never seen, and that's called faith. But tonight, I want to turn back one book and preach a message from the book of Judges. And I said earlier that I wanted to preach at least one message from each book of the Bible in this particular series. And so, since we skipped over the book of Judges, I'm going to turn back to it tonight and preach a message entitled, "You Will Need His Help One Day." Notice, in this chapter, we are introduced to a man, and that man's name is Jephthah. And the Bible tells us a little bit about this man. It tells us that, first of all, he was a Gileadite. Now, Gilead is a land that was inherited by the grandson, or I should say by Manasseh, but was named after Manasseh's grandson. Manasseh received a portion of the land of Canaan, and his portion fell on the east side of the Jordan River, the land that previously was ruled and overseen by the kings Og and Sihon. And once the people of Israel destroyed these two kings and their armies, they took possession of that land And it was given to Manasseh, and his son Maker had a son named Gilead, and I believe that this land that Jephthah was from was inherited by him and named after him. And so Jephthah's a Gilead. He's also said to be a man of valor. And you know, this puts him in pretty good company. Because if you look at the scriptures, there are a number of men that are said to be men of valor. Even in this book, Gideon is said to be a mighty man of valor. And of course, he led the people of Israel to deliverance over the Midianites. Jeroboam is said to be a mighty man of valor. Naaman, not of the nation of Israel, he was a captain of the Syrian army. But we also realize that he was a man that came to put his faith and trust in the Lord, in the true and the living God. Many of Joshua's men who went in and possessed the land of Canaan and experienced victory after victory are called men of valor. Some of David's men are called men of valor. Oftentimes, that's how you will see the Bible refer to the men that were fighting in Israel's army. It simply means they had a big amount of courage. They could fight. And Jephthah was that type of man. But the Bible here also says that he was born under very unusual circumstances. He was the son of a harlot. His father, Gilead, had committed whoredom and as a result had a son. And this wasn't the only son that he had, though. Because Jephthah's father also had other sons by his wife. And so Jephthah was seen as an outcast amongst his family. And not just amongst his family, I think, as we'll see him here in just a moment, he was considered an outcast by this entire city. And as a result, Jephthah's half-brothers and the city of Gilead thrust him out of the place. His brothers didn't want him having any inheritance of their father's wealth. And so they kicked him out. And he went and he dwelt, it says in verse 3, in the land of Tob. And that's where he dwelt. The Bible does not tell us how long, but it does say in verse number 4 that it came to pass in the process of time. Some time passed. Mm-hmm. And now the men of Gilead had a need, because the children of Ammon had come out to make war with the men of Gilead. And the men of Gilead weren't strong enough, didn't have enough leadership to defeat the people of Ammon by themselves. And so they were at a dilemma. What could they do? And they knew that Jephthah was a mighty man of valor that could most likely lead them to victory. And so the elders of the city went in search of Jephthah and found him. And they asked him to be the captain of their army. And then I want you to notice, again, Jephthah's response. Look at verse number 7. Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And then he asks them a question. And why are ye coming to me now when ye are in distress? You guys wanted nothing to do with me before. You didn't care for me. You called me names. And because of something that was beyond my control, you thrust me out of my home and out of my city, and I had to go find friends amongst the vain men, it says. And unfortunately, that's what happens to a lot of children when they're not loved and cared for. When nobody accepts them, especially in light of circumstances that they can't control, they want to find a group of people where they fit in. And so like Jephthah, sometimes they go and they find that in vain men. And they associate with people that only bring to them harm. Jephthah says, you didn't want anything to do with me. You thrust me out of my land. And now when you have a need, you come looking for help. Why should I help you? Why should I help you? I think we can see a couple of applications here. We can see, perhaps, first of all, that we ought to be careful how we treat others.
Right.
Because you never know when you might need that person's help. But yet, that's not the point of my message tonight. As I said, this is a series of messages on the subject of salvation. And so, what I see in view here is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some may not like the analogy of equating Jephthah in some way to the Lord Jesus Christ, but I do see some similarities. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, while He was born into this world in a much different way than Jephthah, He was born into this world under unique circumstances. He was not born of a harlot in an unrighteous manner, but He was born of a virgin. The only one to have been born into the world of a virgin. Like Jephthah, the Lord Jesus Christ was rejected by men because of who He was. John 1:11 says He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. It sounds like Jephthah, here He was. This was His house. These were His brothers, just His half-brothers, but they were His brothers. Gilead, this was His father. The city where He dwelt, they were His fellow citizens, but they rejected Him and thrust Him out. And just like Jephthah, one day those that have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ are going to need His help. In Revelation in chapter 20 and verse 11 it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them." This is the judgment seat for the lost. And the lost stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says as they stand there, there was no place for them. As I think about this particular verse, it appears to me that those that stand at this particular judgment seat have nowhere to place their feet. They're just there. And maybe held there in the midst of space by the power of God, realizing that at any moment God can withdraw His hand and they would fall into the lake of fire. It says in verse 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." There's a lot of people that are rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ today. And you know, one day they're going to regret that decision. Because one day they're going to need His help. Remember the man in the parable that Jesus spoke of? He came into the marriage feast without a wedding garment. And the host came to him and said, "Friend, how comest thou in hither not having a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. He was speechless. This portrays many that will stand at the great white throne judgment, having no righteousness of their own, needing the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure many of them will cry out, "Lord, save me! Lord, help me!" But it's going to be too late. They had their opportunity, and time has ran out. I think of Pharaoh. The Lord sent to Pharaoh Moses. Moses was God's messenger, and Moses had one simple request. He said, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh said, "No, I'll not let them go." And Moses threw down his rod, and it became a snake, and he picked it back up, and it became a rod. And Moses said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, no. His magicians performed the same feat and threw their sticks down. They became snakes. Serpents, even though Moses swallowed theirs. Pharaoh still hardened his heart and refused to let the people go. And God, over and over again, he came to Pharaoh, giving him a space for repentance.
Right.
Sending 10 plagues amongst Egypt, but each and every time, when Moses said, let my people go, Pharaoh said no. It was the frogs, the lice, the flies, the boils, the hail, the locusts, the darkness, the river turned to blood. But Pharaoh refused to receive the instruction of God's messenger. And then there was that final plague of the Passover. And the death angel came and slew the firstborn of everyone in Egypt, of every household that did not have the blood of the Lamb applied to their doorpost. And you know, the Bible doesn't tell us everything that was uttered from the mouth of Pharaoh after his firstborn had died. But I imagine to myself he might have said, Lord, God of heaven, please help me. But it was too late. His son was dead. It was too late. God had given him every opportunity to repent. God had given him every opportunity to do as he bid him, but he refused. And whenever Pharaoh sent his armies in pursuit of the people of Israel, even though they saw walls of water on both sides, and at any point in time it could have came crumbling down upon them, they still entered into that river bottom. And when they all got in there, God destroyed the entire army. Maybe Pharaoh at that point could have said, Lord God of heaven, help and save my soldiers. But it was too late. He had opportunity. And he rejected God's messenger. It's another man in the scriptures, King Ahab. I believe this was a man that had ample opportunity,
yes, sir,
to repent of his sin and to believe on the true and the living God. Elijah prayed, the New Testament tells us, and because of his prayer, it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And when Ahab finally caught up to Elijah, he asked him a question, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And Elijah said, it's not me.
Sure. Amen.
I'm not the one troubling Israel.
Right.
It's you, Ahab. And if you would repent and change your behavior, maybe God would have sent rain.
Right. That's right.
Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal that were under the leadership of Ahab. He destroyed them all, and yet Ahab still never changed his behavior. And Elijah wasn't the only prophet to ever come and to rebuke Ahab. When Jehoshaphat came and made an alliance with Ahab, and all the prophets there, the false prophets, said, go, Jehoshaphat, go, Ahab, you can defeat the Syrians. You'll get the victory. And Jehoshaphat, being a man of God, said, isn't there a man of God somewhere that we can talk to, a prophet of God that we can talk to and get his advice, get his counsel? And Ahab said, there is one, but I don't like him.
Right.
He never prophesies nice things about me, only evil. But Jehoshaphat insists, and the prophet comes, and he says the opposite of the false prophets. Don't go up against them, you'll lose. And Ahab, see, I told you so. I told you that's what he'd say. He's a pessimist. Always preaching hellfire and brimstone. Never preaching on anything positive. And Ahab said, go lock him back up. And the prophet said, you're not going to see me again, Ahab. You're not going to make it back alive. And sure enough, as Ahab retreated from the battle, someone shot an arrow, and it thrust through Ahab. And as he lied in his chariot in a pool of blood, someone might have heard him say, Lord God of heaven, help me. But it was too late, Ahab. You should have listened to the messengers that God sent to you time and time again. It was too late. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 with me. Proverbs chapter 1. Notice in verse number 20. It says, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets," not in the closets, in the streets. "She crieth in the chief place of concourse," not in the dark alleys. "In the openings of the gates," not the corners of the walls. "In the city she uttereth her words." The cities are where most people are at, not the countryside, not the barren countryside. "Saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge." This is what wisdom says. This is what God says. He says to the unrepentant sinner, how long are you going to hate knowledge and love simplicity? How long? He says in verse 23, "Turn you at my reproof." Mm-hmm. Repent.
Yes. Yeah.
"Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and with none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh." Look down at verse number 29. "For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way." I tell you, this portion of Scripture best reminds me of Jephthah's life more than any other passage. You see, they sent him on his way, thrust him out of their city, and then they found that they needed his help one day. Now Jephthah, being gracious, he helped him. And you know, even now, if you are here and you have rejected the gospel message, or you have neglected the gospel message and turned yourself at the reproof of God, it's still not too late to change your ways, to turn from your sin, to embrace Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's not too late. But you know, if you continue to harden your neck, there'll come a time when it is too late. And I'm afraid for a lot of people in this world who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, if they continue to reject Him, one day they'll need His help. But His help won't be found. Because He's given them the opportunity now, today, to believe. And if they refuse Him, when they call upon Him, it'll be too late. I was at home going over some verses with the children one night last week. Different verses that talk about the Lord being the Savior of all men.
Amen. Amen.
How He died for all men.
Yes, sir.
You know, as I sat there and read those verses and talked about what they meant, you know, my heart just started to burden for the lost world around us.
Amen.
The gospel is for everyone. God wants everyone to be saved.
Amen.
Everyone can be saved.
Right.
That's why I asked my children this question. I said, "Does everyone, can everyone, is it possible for everyone to be saved?" Some of them didn't know how to answer that question. Because it's true, not everyone will be saved. We know that from what the Bible clearly states. But is it possible?
Yes,
it's possible for everyone to be saved. That's why we preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
And I tell you, we've got a lot of young people here tonight. And you know, you all have probably heard the gospel message over and over again. But that doesn't mean you're saved.
Right.
Right.
I mean, even the adults. Being in church faithfully doesn't necessarily mean you're saved.
Right.
Remember what we looked at last week, Orpah. She said many of the same things as Ruth. She did many of the same things as Ruth, but she wasn't saved because she didn't genuinely put her faith and trust in the true and living God. And it would be a sad thing for someone here in this sanctuary tonight to die and go to hell. Because you've heard the gospel message. Again, there's coming a time where it's going to be too late to be saved.
That's right.
And if you seek God's help at the great white throne judgment, I'm afraid His help won't be found. It'll be too late.
Right.
Now, today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. You need to be saved now, today. Before it's too late. Thank God that Jesus Christ, like Jephthah, is patient, long-suffering, and forgiving. Jephthah, he put him on the spot and said, why in the world should I help you when you thrust me out of the city? But he helped him and led the people of Gilead to victory over their enemies. And you know, maybe you have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ in the past. Well, that doesn't mean He won't receive you tonight. Because if you repent and believe, He will. He'll save you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so if you're here tonight and you're not saved, can I encourage you to get saved? Don't wait until it's too late like Pharaoh did, like Ahab did, like the people that were alive during Noah's day did. Don't wait like the rich man did in Lazarus chapter 16. Don't reject the messenger of God. Pharaoh rejected Moses. Ahab rejected Elijah. Many people are rejecting Moses and Elijah today. That is, Moses, the law, and the prophets, referring to the Word of God. Don't reject the counsel of the Word of God. Because one day you'll regret it. Don't reject the Lord Jesus Christ. You will need His help.
Yes, sir.
So you can either ask for it now and find it, or wait until it's too late. And I encourage you, don't wait. Don't wait until it's too late.
Yes, sir.
Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Thy Word. Thank You for the lessons that we can learn from it. And God, I pray that tonight we would learn something from this account on Jephthah's life. Lord, we see an individual that was born into this world under unique circumstances. He was rejected by his own. And yet there came a day when those same people needed his help. And Lord, likewise, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was born into this world under very unique circumstances. He also was rejected of his own. And yet those same people needed and still need Him today. God, I pray that You would speak to the hearts and minds of anyone that's present here tonight and unsaved. May You convict them of their sin, and may they by faith trust in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Bless now in this invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. Let's turn to hymn number 413, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.